Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down the system. Fails the exit polls. Wake up the silence.
Steven, and I'm with you on the Star Chamber show. We're on episode number 33. So, you know, we got double three tonight. And, of course, intro music, guys in Zero King, who just got done cutting a demo with the fellow with Ben Wells from Blackstone Cherry. So I always like to thank those guys for letting us use their music, the Zero King boys. And we're looking forward to a great show tonight. We've got Sayla Janelle with us. And, yeah, she just got done doing an internet chat. And then that rascal Alexander Brown is, I think, with us. He's having a few little phone difficulties. But and
yes,
Michael West in
here.
On the wire. Cool. So how is everyone tonight? Are we doing good?
I'm good.
Doing all right.
Yep.
Doing all right. All right. Yeah, we... Susan can't join us tonight, unfortunately, so it's just going to be the four of us. And hopefully that will be enough with our guest of the evening. But first, as we always do, we cover just a few tidbits and make sure that, you know, I go over any news any of our co-hosts have as well. But on my end, it's just a crazy week because we are totally getting into modes now for Fandom Fest, which is in 2 weeks in Louisville, real big fandom convention. It has a literary track in it, fandomfest.com. Where you go to get all the info, but we're going to be having a lot of fun there with a kind of a pop culture themed literary track this time, and it's going to be pretty cool over Saturday and Sunday. And then Imaginarium is hitting stride now, and just got word tonight actually that there's not too many hotel rooms left, so which is good news. So that's kind of a cool thing that just rolled in tonight, and we've been knee deep in preparations for that. Of course, I have to wear a few more hats with that event. I do with Fandom Fest, where I'm strictly on the literary side. This one, I got to wear like 10 hats. But Susan has just been awesome. I want to give her mega props. She's been working with me very, very intensely on the Imaginarium prep, and it's definitely going well. And it's got some good energy going. And we just recently posted our track. I don't know if any of you guys got a chance to see it, but it's we have over 125 panels
that, so.
Listed. Over 130 guests.
It's insane.
Guests,
like
it's awesome.
It's crazy. Like, if you have
needless
any interest
say,
in the schematics of writing, or if you're interested in writing, you need to come to this because there's going to be so much information. Like, there's so many guests. Like, it's incredible. If you love books, you will just explode all over the floor and we'll have to mop you up the bucket. I mean, it'll be great.
Yeah, and you get to see all of us and our guest tonight, as a matter of fact, who we will bring on here in just a second. But he's going to be there, too. And I also like to say that, you know, it's a bonanza for networking. There's going to be a lot of publishers there. We got a lot of them exhibiting, a lot of them in the panel side of things. And got some great imaginators. We got some pretty big names with Rose Pressey, our guest of honor, who's one of the great indie ebook success stories out there. And then, of course, Jeff Reddick, the creator of Final Destination. He's on our screenwriting side as our imaginator there. And Dan Jolly with the comic book side of things is the imaginator, and then Maurice Brodus as our author imaginator. So we've got, which are, you know, basically like, you know, close, kind of like a guest of honor. We have one designated guest of honor, and then we have what we call our imaginators, like a featured guest in each category. And that's so this year it's Dan Jolly, Maurice Brodus, and Jeffrey Reddick, and then with our main guest of honor, Rose Pressey. So yeah, we got a cool lineup kind of coming down the pike here, and it's gonna be awesome. We're gonna kick it old school, right, Sayla, and we're gonna kick it new school.
Right on. That's right. Hopefully, I'll have an old school troll there by then too.
I got a hunch there will be from the chatter I hear. So
I'm trying. I have to start building him still, but I'm trying. I think if I can start by the end of July, I can get him created. I'm still buying
after the first night of. After the first night of Imaginarium parties, you might be able to find a few that are probably in troll-like condition.
Well, yeah, I know, but it has to be extra good to be my troll.
Yeah. So Alex and Mike, anything new on your ends?
Well, do you have an announcement if you're ready for it, Stephen?
All right, we're going to break some news here. I know what you're going to talk about. Go for it.
All right. Well, I'd say about maybe two Halloweens ago, I became joined with my life partner, Robert Cole. And since we're going up to Kentucky, we know that our relationship will not be noticed legally in Mississippi. But what we want to do is when we come up to Kentucky to Imaginarium is we are hoping to have a wedding at the convention. And at this wedding, we are hoping that Stephen Zimmer will be our best man.
I have accepted. Absolutely.
Awesome.
I am very, very honored. I can't. All my life, I've wanted to be invited to be a best man. So it's like you've made one of my longtime wishes come true. I am honored.
Well, you're like a brother to us. You're like a brother to us. And Jennifer Mulvihill, she's going to assist with it as well. And it was kind of funny because she and I, we have that brother-sister relationship. And anyway, she said, well, if Stephen's going to be the best man, what am I going to be? And it just flew out of my mouth. I said, the hag of honor. So.
Oh, dear.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's awesome.
God.
So yeah,
that's
thank you,
awesome.
Man. That's really, really honored.
That's so
and,
cool.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, and I'm just
thank
yeah,
you.
Very honored. So beat that, Michael. See if we can come up with something cooler than that.
Well, I'll have to try to get ordained before that happens,
yeah.
So that I can perform the ceremony.
We should make a giant fish person to walk one of them down the aisle.
There you go.
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that
oh
be
my
great?
God.
Well, I've got the costume. My son could be the
yes.
The fin bearer.
We'll give him like a tie. Yes, and a little hat.
Oh man.
Oh yes. I'm like just floored now. I'm like, oh yay, plan. They're coming together. Yay. But yeah, at the wedding, though, we do, of course, want to invite any friends or anyone who would just like to come in and be a part of that ceremony to just feel free to be a part of it, you know. We're very open people. We're very friendly people, and we would just love to see our friendship circle expand.
Yeah, two of the most just absolutely lovable guys you'll meet in the indie book art world. I mean, Alex and Robert are just gold, and yeah, I'm just really excited. It's gonna be awesome. So,
well, thank you, and of course, you know, we're gonna have to get the booze ready and stuff. I'll bring up rum and God only knows what else. So, it'll be a night to get schnockered.
I have,
yeah, I'm sure there'll be some adult beverages for sure.
I've discovered my new adult beverage of choice, which is Smirnoff Ice screwdrivers.
Very cool.
They are awesome.
Well, I would like to, like I said, we've covered our news a little bit, got the big announcement in there, and now I am going to bring aboard a wonderful guy that I met actually in person at MidSouthCon, but the funny thing was we had worked together like months before that. He's actually doing a lot of blog hosting with tours that we were doing for Seventh Star Press, so I knew him just from that, and then all of a sudden I saw, oh, he's going to MidSouthCon. And so I met him down at MidSouthCon, and just super guy, and yeah, just everything I kind of was kind of thinking he was, you know, because he's very cool to interact with. But he's got so much going on. I mean, and he's going to probably be talking about quite a few things tonight, and you know, we're going to get underway with that right now. I mean, he's got, you know, his Dying Days 4 Zombie release, his Summer of Zombie tour. He had a State of Horror series that was purchased by Karen Coyne Press. He's also an internet DJ with Armcast Dead Sexy Horror Podcast, and also I hope he talks a little bit about the recent campaign he did to gather books for troops overseas, which I think was mega cool. So on that note, I would like to bring aboard Armand Rosamilia.
Rosamilia, very, very good, Stephen, very good.
I nailed it.
Yes, you did nail it.
Hey, listen,
Yeah. Before we go any further, I'm gonna be at Imaginarium, and I'm sure Mr. Brown still hasn't picked his flower girl, and I think I would be perfect for that for the wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep me in mind.
Zombie flower girl. Is that cool? Zombie flower girl. Can we do it?
that would work. What's up, everybody?
Very cool.
Yo.
How's it going, man?
Oh, and it's busy as usual.
Well, the first thing I got to do, I was kind of surprised tonight because I know that a certain Jerry Benz is out there listening somewhere in the webverse, and he told me all about your dedication and lifelong love for the St. Louis Cardinals. I did not know you were a big Cardinals fan.
What a jerk!
What the hell with the Cardinals? I'm from St. Louis. What the hell?
You know what? There is nothing wrong with the Cardinals. They just got their ass kicked by my Red Sox. That's all. That's all that's wrong with them.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa. Yeah.
Jerry's a Cardinals fan, but yeah, he wanted me to ask him on tonight about his
nice.
Cardinal fandom.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, I would like to start actually with you just concluded a heck of a zombie tour, the Summer of Zombie tour, which was a big deal. Tell us a little bit about what you just concluded here.
I did all of June, 32 authors this year. This is the fourth year I've done it. It started with me, Mark Tufo, John O'Brien, and a couple other guys. And it over the last 4 years, it's grown. And I had about maybe 80 people who wanted to do it, and I just kind of handpicked some of the people I knew, some of the people I had no idea who they were, but their books look cool. And so we had teasers and interviews and guest posts. We had three or four, sometimes some days five different things for the tour going on every day in June. So, and I did all the behind the scenes, as you know, Stephen, putting these tours, you know, blog tours together, how much work goes into it. So do that with, you know, 32 different authors. It was crazy.
Oh yeah. I don't envy you putting that one together.
it was great fun. It started 4 years ago because June is was always the worst month for book sales. And I wanted to do something different for it. And when we started doing this, it just took off. And I have people that all month have been asking. I get people now who are going, oh, I'm in the next one. I'm like, that's 11 months from now. It bothered me then.
Yeah, I gotta give you a break here.
Yeah. Like I'm going to remember.
ran into some pretty kick-ass bloggers along the way. I know you ran into one of our all-time legendary favorites, the Cabin Goddess. She hosted you, actually, I think, right? I mean, you personally.
Yeah. And that's the fun part for me because all the bloggers, I mean, really came out. You're talking 100 different blogs, you know, or 100 different places over the month to have stuff. So it was very cool to coordinate and meet all of these different, all the bloggers that were so enthusiastic about putting it out. And I had, not one day did I have a problem where somebody didn't post or posted on the wrong day or anything else. So it went very smoothly on that end. Yeah.
That's amazing. Cause inevitably I always tell our authors, there's always one person that has a life event come up and they miss the day or they have to postpone. And it always happens at least once a tour. And I mean, to hear that, with that many blogs and authors, that's just ridiculous.
That was the first time it ever happened. That was the first time, you know, in 4 years. And I also do, in November, I let all the horror, everybody does an October tour. I let everybody do their October tours, and then I do a Winter of Zombie one in November, and I do it smaller, usually 6 or 7 people, that's it. And it's the same thing. I mean, we're putting out 20 or 25 posts over the course of that month, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully I won't have any problems with that one. That would be nice.
Because I know that everybody that's sitting here with you on the host group is very blog-friendly. I mean, all of them have done tours. And I think, just off the top of my head, I think all of you have been hosted by Armand before, if I'm not mistaken. I think at one time...
Yeah, I have enough.
No, I don't think so.
I really did appreciate it. It was awesome when Stephen had said, "Hey, remember Armand?" I'm like, "Yeah, I remember Armand. We had awesome panels together at Mid-South." He's like, "Okay, well, he's doing a blog tour." I'm like, yes. And so, I kind of think that, you know, with you saying that the response that you had where everyone was very punctual about contributing to you, so on and so forth, I think that that's a reflection on how you treat people because you're a very approachable person, you're a very kind person, and also you're a damn talented author. So, I mean, of course, when you have all of those into one gumbo mix, people want to jump for it.
Are you sure you're in love with this guy? Because I'm feeling some love from you. You know.
I was just about to mention his secret weapon. He's a metalhead too. That's the secret.
Oh yeah, big metalhead. Well, that's very cool of you to say that. For me, it's all about giving back. I learned from the guys when I first started getting into this as a full time author. I learned from Scott Nicholson and Jay Conrath and Brian Keene and Joe McKinney and guys like that. Were really just genuine. They talked to fans. They talked to other authors.
Yeah.
They were more promoted.
I love
you know.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I did a actually for Friday. This Friday, I'll have on my Armcast podcast. The second interview is with Joe, and we did 45 minutes. But really, I talked to him for 2 hours on the phone of just because he's just a normal, cool guy. But for me, that's what it is. It's just it's helping other authors. It's promoting. It's going to Mid-South was awesome. Got to meet you guys, and I mean everything. It was one of those conventions that everything was a positive. There was no as a guest there. There was no crap going on. Everybody was cool. Had a great time. So I'm looking forward to Imaginarium. For the same experience.
Yeah, Mid-South is definitely one of our favorites. I mean, all of us at Seven Star. I mean, I know Alex and I just have a blast at Mid-South, and Christy and Missy and everybody, they put on just a great track down there. I mean, it is so cool.
Yeah, and that was for me, yeah.
Mid-South is, and I believe this is how Imaginarium is going to become, it's for the vendors, it's like one big family reunion. And for those people that are vendors who have not had a chance to meet the crowd yet, it's kind of like introducing the new family in. And that's one of the great things about Mid-South. It just sucks you in. You automatically become family. And I think that since we have so many people behind Imaginarium that are great, approachable people, I think that con is going to turn into the same thing, and it's because of the guests and the backbones and all of that that's going into it.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, and for me, as an author, and I've done a ton of different conventions over the years, but most of them I don't go back to. I mean, even stuff in Florida now I don't go back because of the negativity or problems at the convention, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that, you know, I don't want to deal with any of that stuff. I want to go there and meet people and have a good time. So Mid-South for me was going and having a good time. So, you know, I want to go back next year. And for me, I'm hoping that's a yearly thing, and I'm hoping Imaginarium becomes a yearly convention on my schedule every year.
Absolutely. It's our first year, of course. And so, you know, we're all eager to deliver a good one on the first year out. But I think it's got lots of room to grow, but it's definitely got a mix of very proven and known, you know, people coming in. It's coming, wide range of folks from a lot of different states, and yeah, it should be a really nice mix this first year. And Louisville's a great city, so I mean, I think you'll have. It's definitely a metal town. They're doing the October 4th big metal fest with Judas Priest, and also it's gonna be pretty. It's definitely it will be friendly to everything you love for sure. And of course, our
Very
state
cool.
is the bourbon yeah. capital, so yeah, there's plenty of parties. So
nice. Well, for me, I look at the guest list and I say, who have I not met yet, you know, and who are the guys like you guys that I've met before? Who are the guys that I want to go and get? Because we really didn't have a ton of time to talk, so I'm hoping that, you know, we can hang out more. And I know you'll be busy with the convention and stuff, but a lot of guys on that list I haven't met in person, but I've been talking to for years. So for me, it's cool to actually be able to meet those people in person.
Oh yeah, except a lot of people are bracing for the arrival of Jerry Benz. Though I mean, that's that guy. You got to watch out for him.
Yeah. I've already met him in person. Yeah, whatever. I want to meet new people now.
Yeah, he's coming in force though. I hear he's got a whole entourage with him this time.
I'm thinking by Imaginarium 7. He'll be like Mike Tyson. He'll have like 30 people following him, and he'll have the gold rings and everything else. Yeah, I definitely can see the ego.
Oh, my God. That would be hilarious. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Dear. We'll have to start getting
ready. We
are
going to have cameras there, right?
Cameras?
Yeah.
We actually have a person doing a documentary on Imaginarium.
There's a filmmaker
coming in to do a documentary. Yeah.
Very, very nice.
So
the birth of a con.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, we know.
Jerry's a good guy. Yeah, Jerry's a good guy.
Oh, yeah, Jerry. Yeah, we had him not too long ago. He was a guest on here, and we had a blast talking to him.
I was listening.
Which brings me to the point. With State of Horror, which I think that that's something that I want to hear about from you, because, I mean, obviously that ties in with you and Jerry and Karen Coyne Press.
Right. All right. Jerry forced me at gunpoint to give him the State of Horror books and threaten my family. No, I'm just kidding. When I originally pulled Jerry on, it was just to be an editor because I was so busy with all the other stuff I'm doing that I really didn't have time to do it. And then once he was so friggin' enthusiastic about it and had all these ideas and everything, and I just said to myself, I don't want to be a publisher anymore. I don't want to do this, you know. So I basically gave it to him, and I said, here, you know, you do this. And it became his baby. I mean, it's awesome where he's been. I had put out nine anthologies over, like, 3-4 years, and but he's really just taken the reins on it and done a phenomenal job. Before any of the books are even out, he's done more than I did for the series. So I'm excited about that.
Remind me, what are the two that are out right now? Where the how many are out right now? Just jog my memory.
Well,
on
none
how
of
many
them,
of those are out.
None of them are out right now. In August, before Imaginarium, he'll have New Jersey and Illinois. The first two will be out.
Gotcha.
And the ones
right.
that are on call for the moment are Louisiana and what other state? I know
North Carolina.
North Carolina, yeah. Yeah. And
okay.
then he just announced Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Tennessee. I'm going to give him hell over that one because I know Kentucky was also in the running. But.
Yeah, they,
hey,
everybody voted.
The Tennessee one, it needs to be submitted to the Darrell Awards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Make
what
sure
is?
That, yeah, the Tennessee one. Yeah, tell him
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let him know that. Yeah, let him know that.
Yeah.
So he'll have a couple of issues, you know, by the time we get to Imaginarium, which is cool. He's also a he also sponsors Karen Coyne Press. Actually, sponsors my Armcast podcast now too, which is cool.
That is
so that'll
awesome.
That'll start on Friday. But me and him just as much as we bust chops back and forth, we have a great relationship, and. We worked well together, and it was cool to actually meet him in Memphis. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, we actually got to talk to him for quite a bit, Alex. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, he definitely came around our booth a bit, and we did get to visit with him quite a bit down there. But since then, I mean, we've had a lot of interaction, and yeah, he's one of the guys that strikes me as one of the good, like you. Yeah, I'm one of the good guys because I mean, I felt I already had a good vibe on you just from dealing with you about 8 million times on the blog tour before I got down
yeah.
there.
Well, this is what I liked about you with the blog stuff is because I didn't have to chase you down. I never have to beg you for stuff. It's always like, okay, this is it, this is your date, and here's all your stuff. And you're giving me stuff 3 and 4 days before and going, I'm sorry. And I'm thinking, most of these guys are giving me day of, if I'm lucky, you know. You give me everything is done. It's copy and paste, throw the pictures. I mean, and it looks perfect. And I'm like, oh, I wish anybody could, you know, everybody would do this. Because I try to help as many authors as possible. By doing the guest posts and interviews and different things like that, there's more other people on my blog than there is me, and I just like to give back and help other people. And, you know, you give me all the information I need.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Well, I think that's the least can be done. You know, when you're giving back like you are, and you know, it's definitely an opportunity, and that's something I think a lot of authors kind of forget sometimes. Not some of the ones that, you know, we're privileged to work with, but, you know, yeah, sometimes, yeah, it gets taken for granted just a little bit, but,
yeah.
Well, I mean,
we're not the enemy. That's the way I look at it. No reader buys one book a year, you know?
No.
So, like for me to put out 32 zombie authors in the month and to have people go, wow, I bought, you know, 25 different authors this month. I mean, that's the way it works, you know. So
exactly.
I don't look at it like, oh, I won't have zombie authors because they're against, you know, against my dying day stuff. That's ridiculous to me.
Right. No, it really does work in a synergistic way, and it's something I know I've talked to Sayla and Alex and Michael about. And it's just, yeah, it just baffles me why you do run into, you know, some that tend to get territorial or at bad attitudes or whatever, you know, because, I mean, it's,
yeah.
you know, the more synergy you have, the more everything takes off. I mean, it really does, and I've seen it time and again. And 9 times out of 10, or 99 times out of 100, I mean, the authors that are the type, like you or Michael or, you know, people like that or Sayla, the ones that are engaged with the other authors, those are the ones that tend to always make the best progress. I mean, 99
right.
out of 100 times. And I've just watched that over my few years in you know, in the publishing end of things, watching all that happen. But it's uncanny kind of how that plays out. So
I just look
right,
at it as
it's that
good karma coming back. You know, it's
yeah.
just doing the right thing and being out there for other authors and taking the time when. You know, somebody just jumps, you know, out of nowhere, like last night a guy on Facebook just jumps on and like, I've been following you behind the scenes, and then I noticed that you're a big heavy metal guy, and And I talked to the kid for like an hour just about bands and stuff. And he was like, that's real cool. And I didn't sell sell books to him or anything else. It was just about, let's hang out and let's talk about old metal and let's talk about thrash metal and stuff. And then at the end, he's like, do you have a link to your Amazon? I'm like, here. And then, he's like, came back an hour later. He's like, dude, I'm right in the middle of Darlene Bobbitt. This is awesome. Thanks. And I'm like, thank you, But I didn't talk to him because I'm like, okay, I'm going to hook this kid and sell some books. I hooked him because I wanted to talk to somebody about metal,
Yeah, and speaking of old school thrash, we've got a new Overkill album coming out next week. So there you go.
It is. I've heard it. It is awesome.
Yeah,
the whole album. Yeah, the whole album from open to close is awesome. Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm a Jersey guy, so I knew those guys back in the old club days growing up and stuff like that. I know Bobby and Rat, and I knew all those guys back in the day, which is cool.
Yeah, if you knew Rat, yeah, wow, that does go back a bit there. That's awesome, man.
That's the beginning. Yeah, that was when I was 14 and 15,
Yeah, he's doing the filmmaking stuff now, I guess, kind of like the film stuff now.
But
Bobby's great. I mean, those guys have just day in, day out put out awesome stuff. I mean, just they've never stopped, which I love.
No, exactly.
Bands like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I will have them. I'll have them on. I'm actually working with their management to get them on one of my radio shows. I do two different radio shows, and I want to get them on one
too
of those,
cool.
too, which would be cool. Yeah. And just to, now just
you
to
said
talk to them and
Friday?
Say, hey, remember. What?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, I was just saying, your show starts Friday, you said, right?
Well, Friday night I do it's not live, I do a taped on 97.3 FM, Flagler Beach Radio. It's flaggerbeachradio.com. And that's from 10 till midnight Eastern Standard Time. And I do metal and punk and hardcore and whatever I want to play. And then on Monday nights, I do an online one on Metal Messiah Radio from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Monday night, I do that. And that's metal covers. That's just bands covering metal songs or metal bands covering other bands or Britney Spears, whatever, just as weird as I can find. I had a metal band cover. I found that they covered the Ghostbusters theme, and I had 500 people in the chat room going nuts. Like, what the hell are you playing? I'm like, dude, I'll play whatever I want to play. that's kind of the point of this. So, yeah, I do all that, and then I have the podcast comes out every Friday with a couple of new interviews on that. This will be the third week of that now. I got that launched and. Just always out there and keeping busy and trying to get in as many different readers as I can find and hang out with as many different people as I can.
If you don't mind me asking, are you able to be full time now as a in all your projects or we'd like to talk about being the life,
Over 3 years now I've been a full time author. I've been able to do this and make enough money to survive and live quite well, and go into 3 and 4 conventions every year and doing the book signings and then being able to travel with my girl. We just got engaged and planning a wedding now, and then we'll plan a honeymoon and all that stuff. So a lot of that stuff,
imaginary,
it was cool for me to
be
able to
double wedding.
Imaginary wedding destination.
Yeah,
you see what I'm doing there?
Nice. Yeah. I don't know if her parents want to go to Kentucky, but I'll ask them.
Oh, man, that's
but,
too good.
Yeah, so it's just fun,
Well, let's take a shift to your horror work and your as an author. Let's talk a little bit about your stuff. And I know Alex and Michael are very much horror diehards, and Sayla is as well. So let's turn you loose.
I like how Stephen used getting married as a segue into the horror stuff.
Oh no, that's not intentional. Bomb.
Nice.
I do want to hit a question really quick before we might get caught up talking about something that something else. Now, you said that you're a full-time author and you're able to, you know, live comfortably on your writings and so forth and be able to do like 3 or 4 cons a year. Could you, for those who are trying to reach your status, could you tell us exactly what all this entails before you can get to this level of being in the author world?
Well, I got very lucky because about 4 years ago, I was approached by Hobbs & Publishing, and they had just struck a deal with a Hollywood company to write books with the idea of them made into movies. And I wrote Miami Spy Games, which was a zombie thriller book, like this clandestine FBI, CIA type of agency fighting the zombies. And they paid me a lot of money. And they paid me up front, which was nice. And it came right at a time when I had just lost my job and I was looking for another job. So I was able to use that to pay my bills. And since then, I think I've written about 15 or 16 books for them. And I just I'm doing one now. There's a movie coming out. It's Zombies versus Navy SEALs. And the movie itself has actual Navy SEALs in it. And I wrote the treatment for it. And now I'll write the book adaptation of the movie because the movie is done now. So for me,
wow,
all that money and writing all these books have allowed me to live really comfortably, and it gives me the freedom to write the next Dying Days book or, you know, whatever I want to write. I mean, I've ghostwritten military romances for them. I've written thrillers, I've written erotica, I've written all different kinds of things that aren't even out yet. And some of it might never be out because their goal is put it as a 30,000-word novella or a 100,000-word novel, and then they're in Hollywood right now pitching all these things.
Okay, yeah.
So I took a little different, unique, very good turn for me as far as career. And it allowed me, over that 3 years, to build up that 90% of my sales right now are my zombie books. And I can live off of those, which is nice. I can pay my bills every month just on those Amazon sales. So everything else it allows me to go and buy a nice engagement ring. It allows us to go on several trips besides conventions. It allowed me to go to Portland, Oregon for World Horror and pay for everything 6 months in advance because, you know, we have the money in the bank. So it's definitely helped, but it's also that, you know, you pay your dues and you get to that point where you're good enough that somebody takes a book from you. Some of these are 30, like I just got a contract, it's 30,000 words. Well, I have 15 days to write 30,000 words and they want it done. I mean, they want it complete and, there's no, you know, missed deadline because you missed the deadline and then you're done with these contracts. So 2,000 words a day is my goal anyway, but I'm still trying to write my other stuff. So
sure.
I write my 2,000 words on that, and then I turn around and I'll write, you know, let's start another Dying Days book, or let's start I have a horror novel coming out from Ragnarok Publications in September that actually I think they're going to I think it actually should be done the week before Imaginarium, and I'm hoping
cool.
that I can get a couple of copies of it just to have, which would be cool because then I can kind of promote it. And it's just a horror novel. It's just a it's different. It's not zombies, which is good for me.
Well, let me ask you this: since you contribute so much a day to your writing, on what's being requested of you and what you have yourself personally that goes into buying books and so forth. A lot of authors struggle with distractions, such as I've had quite a few tell me they'll sit down at the computer and they will start writing on the story, and then they'll turn to the internet for a reference. And while they're on the internet for a reference, they decide, hey, let me see what's on Amazon. Let me check Facebook, and distraction kicks in. What tips might you have for those authors who get distracted?
I'm unfortunately one of those authors. I'm not going to lie and say I hit my goal every day. My thing is, if I have that deadline, I have to hit it. There's no choice. It's that fear of if I don't sell some books, I'm not going to pay the electric bill this month, kind of thing. That's eased off now because I have a couple bucks in the bank, which is nice. My books are selling well, but it's tough. That's the toughest thing. I always have 3 to 5 projects open on my laptop. And it's just a matter of writing them and getting them done. And a great example is the last 10 days or so, I have been sucked into MLB Ballpark Empire game on Facebook. And I think I'm on like level 30 now. And I have wasted hours and hours and hours on this stupid game that I could have been writing. And it's just driving me nuts, and I can't stop playing this game. So eventually I'm just going to have to delete it and block it because I'm going to get behind is what's going to happen. But it's a control issue. I try to structure my day that between 10 and 12 I'm writing, and then after lunch from 1 to 2 or 1 to 3 I'm writing, but the rest of the day is doing all the promotion, everything else. I mean, when it gets to, with Summer of Zombie, I mean, that took up several hours every day of my time to coordinate and get everything together and get it all done. And on top of that, I'm doing all this other stuff. When I do Authors Supporting Our Troops, that takes several hours a day out of my time to get packages in, take photographs, put them up on the web, put them into boxes, seal the boxes, send the boxes out. I mean, it's just so much.
Yeah, I've suffered those same problems from time to time, and I've learned that sometimes I can do this sometimes, not all the time, but just going back to old school where it's handwritten and I'm using books as a reference versus using the computer. But then other times I'm like, okay, I'm not finding what I need in these books, got to go online. And it's as you say, you have to try to structure yourself because you do have deadlines.
Yeah. I find that because I have deadlines on about half of my projects now, the ones that don't have a deadline, I always keep putting those off to the side. And, Dying Days 4 almost didn't come out on time because I was doing so many other things. And I said, the deadline is it has to be out before the end of June because I want to be able to promote it on this tour. So that was the goal, and it came about mid-month. But there's always something else. There's always something else in the way of doing that. So it makes it hard.
Well, you mentioned
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I see that we're working on about 10 minutes, so I'm going to quit hogging it and let everyone else have a chance now, I promise.
Well, you mentioned all of your zombie works. Characterizes your zombies and makes them different from, say, The Walking Dead or Brian Keene's work or any of the other zombie novels that are out there?
Well, I wish it was as good as Brian Keene's work, first off. And because that is the bar for me, is The Rising was the reason I write zombie fiction to begin with. Read that book and I was just blown away. My zombie books are more about survivors in a world where just because the world's ending, bad people aren't suddenly good. they're actually worse. And the zombies themselves don't want to just bite you or eat you. They also want to sexually violate you. So it's pretty extreme. I don't actually have, like, big rape scenes in the book or anything else, but it's that fear of it might happen. There's a lot of violence, obviously. There's a lot of profanity. There's a lot of sex. There's a lot of that. I had a blog recently that wanted to do a teaser and said, well, give me the first chapter and you know, so I can run it. And the first line of Dying Days 4 is something like, there were four of the fuckers standing on the road. You know what I mean? I don't even know if I can curse on your thing. But, and so she's like, nope, give me something else. Well, I think we went six chapters until I could find three paragraphs that she wanted, you know? And I'm like, that's the way I write. Sorry, you know? I can't help it. That's the book. It's for adults, you know? So, right. I try to make it realistic. I'm from the George R. R. Martin school of kill everybody in the book, you know, if you have to. I hate watching, like, I love The Walking Dead. I don't watch them when they come out. I binge watch them when they're over. And every season at the end I say, somebody kill Carl. Please, somebody kill Carl. But and if I was writing it, I would have killed him 15 different ways.
Well, have you read the comics though? Because the comics are much different in some aspects than the show is.
You know, I have not read the comics because
you
kind of
appreciate the comics more because they go a lot further than what the show does.
Well, and that's what everybody says that you. I would love to come. My problem is to get into the comics now.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'll wait 5 years, 6 years when it's dead, and I can pick up the comics for a quarter at a show rather than the crazy prices that they have now. I mean, I'm a big comic book geek, and
right.
I remember like when Spawn was huge back in the day, and you know you're paying $100 for for Spawn comics, and now basically they give them away again, so. I'm not in a rush, but everybody says the comics are so much better. So I'm actually looking forward to eventually reading.
It's definitely much more intense. It's much higher stakes as opposed to a lot of the characters that have to be off limits for a TV show are not off limits in the comics. So it's much more of an at-risk situation.
Right. Yeah, I will definitely at some point have to read them. What else you got, Steven?
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking we had technical difficulty for a moment because I heard some static there. So, but no, I was interested in about your stuff, and you know, and I was very curious actually to hear what you know Michael was talking to you about with you know, just make you know, because zombies, there's a lot of books you know with zombies, and it's kind of like how you put your own stamp on something, and that's awesome. And now, with the new book that you said is coming out that's just horror, are you allowed to give a little bit of a teaser on that one and talk about maybe some of the different writing that you're going to be doing in that one?
Yeah, it's called, at this point, it's still called Chelsea Avenue, and it is set in, it starts out in Long Branch, New Jersey, which is around where I grew up. And back in 1987, there was a haunted house on the pier. And it burned down. And as I think I was 16 or 17 at the time, and there was a club around the corner that we used to go to called Murphy's Law that we used to go see all the metal bands and stuff. And then it eventually closed down, and it became just this weed-strewn, disgusting lot that everybody used to throw their garbage in. And but wow, that would make a good setting for a horror book. And 20 years later, I wrote the book, and it's I'm a huge fan. I was a huge fan of Dorchester Publishing, you know, the Leisure Books, you know, John Everson and obviously Brian Keene and Michael Lamo and Jack Ketchum and, you know, Richard Lehman. All these guys put out such great books for that, you know, few years there that every month there was two great books coming out, and it was always a great monster book. So I wanted it to be that kind of book. I actually started writing it years ago when they were taking open submissions, and right before I sent it, that's when all the problems and everything started, so I never sent it. And I reworked it as I became a better writer, and when I presented it to Ragnarok, they loved it, and we're just going through some minor edits and stuff like that right now. So it's a monster book. I mean, it takes you to the date every year of the fire over the next 12 or 13 years, basically.
Very cool. Now, what draws you to the genre itself as a writer? What does horror, you know? And I know there's one that Michael will love to hear the answer, sure. But what draws you to this genre?
I've always been a fan since I was 12 years old. My mother's still is a huge reader, and she has a huge collection of horror books. And I used to read her Dean Koontz books when I was 12. And then I got into pretty much anything with a giant spider on it or demon eyes or whatever. She would give me all these cool books, and I would read. And from the time I was 12, I wanted to be a writer. I mean, that was that was what I always wanted to do. So I've always written. Even when I was a kid, I wrote these horrible Dean Koontz ripoff stories and made no sense. And I had my first short story published when I was 18, and I was just totally hooked, even though it was for a free copy of a side-stapled zine. I was a millionaire, and I haven't stopped since.
Very cool. Do you see yourself at any point, I mean, doing any type of like cross genre or some other area of speculative fiction, or do you pretty much see yourself as kind of staying in the horror genre as completely?
Well, I have a series called Flagger Beach Fiction Series, and it's actually like just contemporary fiction. It's just characters in a beach town, no horror at all. I under a pen name, I write just straight erotica. I've done horror erotica mix. I've done my death metal novella was basically a thriller. So I've gone in other things. For me, I never sit down and go, okay, I'm going to write a horror book. I just write down and say, this is the story I want to write. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it becomes horror books. You know, most of my stuff is somebody's got to die, you know, or something bad's got to happen to somebody here. In fact, when I put out Death Metal, Sam's Dot Publishing put it out in 2009 originally with a horrible cover, and they called it an urban horror book, and I didn't understand what that even meant, because to me it was a thriller, and that's pretty much what it is. It's a thriller. There's no supernatural,
right.
There's no horror. I mean, it's just, you know, people fighting kind of thing, and it's just different, so... But it's just whatever I start writing.
What a character, that Tyree Campbell. he definitely is. He's going to actually, with Alban Lake now, I think is what the name is. But, yeah, I think they're going to be showing up in Kentucky. So, but, yeah, Tyree's a character. I always love bumping into him on the road. Yeah, he's fun.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, but, I haven't talked to him in, you know, 5 years.
Wow. Yeah, it's impossible to get on email. you have to pretty much send Passenger Pigeon or some other, you know, more old school method to reach him.
But
the idea of, oh man, yeah, Tyree's a character. But so what is on the immediate map for the fall for you, as far as because we got because I want to make sure we get into what you have coming up, this fall schedule wise, because we're coming up on about 6 minutes.
Well, I have I'll have Chelsea Avenue coming out by Ragnarok Publications in September. I'll have Dying Days Origins 2 coming out in November in time for the Winter of Zombie schedule. I'm putting out – I just came out with Necromance number 4, which is horror erotica. short stories through Hazardous Press. So 5 and 6 should be out by then. Then, of course, State of Horror books. I know I'm going to be in the New Jersey. I got a story in the New Jersey one. I got a story in the Illinois one. I submitted my North Carolina one. Or I'm submitting my North Carolina one and then the Louisiana one. So my goal is to be in every single one of those. And bunch of stuff. My problem is I look at stuff and I go, wow, that's really cool. And then I want to write for it, you know. Right. I'd actually started a for Southern Haunts. I'd started a story, but then I had two contracts come in like immediately. So I was aggravated that I never got to finish that one. But when you guys do another one.
Yeah, heads up in advance. Part 4 is going to be about creatures of the South.
Cool.
So any type of creature-related folklore in the South, go for it.
Nice. All right. Good. Well, I will put that up on my dry erase board then, so I don't forget.
Look at that. Armand draws a scoop out of Alex Brown. How about that? Breaking news.
Nice.
Writers are scrambling as we speak.
That's how we
that
do it
awesome.
At Southern Haunts.
I will definitely be writing something for that, because I like you guys. I want to work with you guys. You know, it's as I always say, you're some of the good guys. So and girl, you know, I don't want
to. There's Sale in the background.
Well, thank
you. Staff waiting.
All right. That was the first song. Well, I need to get the realest Scream of Six. I haven't practiced one. So I need.
Oh, man, too good. Now, one thing I'll make sure we do hit, those ways to find you, because online, just to make sure we cover that as well, as far as the linkage
I'm,
and stuff.
ArmandRosamilia.com is the website. Also, ArmcastPodcast.com. Also, DyingDayZombie.com. Those are my three websites. I'm on Twitter. Crazy on Twitter. I think I just broke 76,000 followers on Twitter.
Nice. Yeah, I knew it was a ridiculous amount. I knew it was up there.
Yeah. It's like on autopilot. I'm averaging about 1,000 people a week now without even trying, which is like really cool.
Very
so,
cool.
Cool. And that's great, because every time I put out something, you know, like when I did the R.J. Sullivan guest post, and I think it got retweeted like 37 times or something ridiculous like that, you know. So
very cool.
People are paying attention, which is cool. So you can find me there. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Pinterest. I'm on new MySpace for some reason. I'm on Wattpad now. Pretty much any social media, I'm there, and I have like 10,000 followers. I just can't help it.
Wow. Yes. I mean, just right now I'm just swamped enough with the few social media networks that I work in, and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know how you keep up with all that. But, man, that's impressive.
Yes.
But, yeah, it sounds like you got a good thing going. I mean, you got a nice balance of activities with, you know, your podcast, your own writing, your stuff, the series and work contract work. I mean, man, you got just a really cool thing going. I mean, it's really –
yeah, it's been a lot
kudos.
Of fun. Yeah, it's definitely been – it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. And, you know, it's exciting to – I mean, I have my planner is just always – every day is just packed with stuff, but I'm getting to most of it, which is nice. So.
Well, we're looking forward for sure. All of us are going to be there. All the hosts here are going to be there in September. We're definitely looking forward to spending some time with you. And I love Jersey.
That's awesome.
My father's. My father is a Jersey boy, and so yeah, he's from the Trenton Hamilton Township area. So So I got ties there too. So definitely always want to show some love to the Jersey folk for sure. So.
Nice.
Yeah, great having you tonight.
You guys are all cool. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
in September. You got it. Well, any final messages, guys, because we're about to sign off here.
Good night and good luck.
Nice.
Night off.
Night, guys.
I'll see you guys in September.
Take care.
Night.
Right,
see you soon.
Right,
all right. Bye-bye. See you then. Bye.